sing, can he? I can't, can I? All right. Well, welcome to North Point. Man, I'm so glad to see you guys. If you want to take out your outlines, we're going to talk today about kind of the heart part of finances. I'm going to be talking about some finances. I'm not going to do them several weeks in a row. I'm just going to pepper you every once in a while because, you know, finances starts to get on y'all's nerves. That one nerve that goes from your wallet to your heart. But not going to talk about it a whole lot, but we are going to be talking about the next few weeks. Every once in a while I may bring up it. But this is about the heart of finances. We're going to talk about an attitude of life to handle financial situations as they come in to our life. You know, I tell you, I don't know about you guys, but most of the financial lessons that I've learned have come through difficulties, or they have come through windfalls. You know, that's how I learned them. And so I want to talk to you about that. I'm talking about situations, wherever they might be, through bankruptcies, fires, deaths, inheritance, just stuff like that. It's all about an attitude of how when life comes to you. And through some situations that you might see things get a less hold on you, and hopefully that you get a better hold and become closer to God, and then we can begin to learn. I know that I'm still learning on this attitude of contentment, which this is the title of today's lessons. Is I want to give you five secrets to contentment, and how do we begin to learn that? Philippians 4:12 and 13. It says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of contentment in every situation, whether it be a full stomach or hunger, plenty or want, for I can do everything God asks me to with the help of Christ who gives me strength and power. What I want you to do here is circle the word learned. Learned. And why is that? Is because contentment is something that is whoa, that's nice. Contentment is something that is learned. And that is contentment is something that we relearn over and over. Contentment we learn over and over. Contentment's not a personality trait, which means it's not something that we're born with. God wants to teach us. And he wants to teach us not by giving us everything we want when we want. And so he teaches us through the ups and the downs of our life, through the pluses and the minuses, through the littles and the much. He teaches us contentment. So five secrets of contentment. The very first one is to understand the power of contentment. Understand the power of contentment. While you guys are writing it down, I'm going to get me a drink of water. And some of you guys may not be interested in learning about contentment at all, because to you, it's laziness. It's getting nothing done. And to you, it's just not something that you like. You want to keep moving forward. You want to keep making a difference. And so today, I want to redefine commitment for you, if that's our contentment for you, if that's the way you define it, because that's not what the Bible talks about at all, not at all. You know, I write this down in your outline. Contentment is not settling for less. Contentment is not settling for less. It's not a, okay, Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be, will be. I can't sing, can I? But because I want you to remember who wrote this in Philippians. The Apostle Paul did. And the Apostle Paul was not a settle for less person. He did more than anybody except for Jesus Christ. I mean, Apostle Paul, to steal the words of my favorite movie, Cool Hand Luke, he's a world changer, or world shaker, I should say, world shaker. I mean, he changed the world. You know, he said, I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep fighting. But he was not a settle for less kind of guy. Here's what contentment is. Contentment is trusting God for much, much more. Trusting God for much, much more. You know, I'm telling you, building a great business without losing your family doing it is contentment. You know, and lose the better things to build the lesser things is not what we're talking about. Contentment enables you to build this great business without losing your family. It enables you to achieve great goals without losing your health. Contentment means you drive toward the future without driving yourself and everybody else around you crazy. Trust God for much, much more. Ephesians 3:20 is one of the verses that the elders have founded North Point on, is with God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. Much, much more. With contentment, you don't get less than you could have ever done. With contentment, you and I are trusting God to do much, much more in our lives. There's basically three ways that we live our lives, that we either give up, gear up, or look up. Those are the reactions that we're going to do. Number, the very first reaction I'm talking about is to give up, which means some of us just give up. We give up, we're still living, but we're just kind of existing. Not going to do anything else. You know, that dream is shattered. I'm not going to dream anymore. You know, I'm too old to do this. I'm not going to do it. Some of you guys have might have just to lost a job this week. And you've developed this attitude of, I'm just going to give up. I can't get ahead. Or you might even be this second attitude of gear up. It's one I lived for a long time. Of gear up, which means I'm going to make this work if it kills me. If it kills me, I'm going to do it. If it kills me or the people around me, and it just might. I put it all on myself, and I do it all by myself. The problem with that, when you put it all on yourself and you're going to do it all by yourself, the problem with that is you can't stop. You can't stop. You're getting a lot accomplished. You're getting a lot accomplished, but your family's suffering. The people around you suffering. You're getting further away from them. And possibly getting further away from God. Your first ministry is your family. The third attitude, which is one we've got to look at, is to look up. Look up. Look up to God for the greater things that only He can do, more than we could ever imagine. Much, much more. Much, much more. Leads us to the second secret to contentment, is to deal with the enemy of contentment. Did y'all know that there is an enemy to contentment? There's a lot of them, but there's number one. There's a public enemy of contentment. The number one enemy of contentment is comparison. Comparison. I'm going to tell you, when I compare, when you compare, you compare the contentment and the joy right out of your life. Right out of your life. Galatians 6:4, I love the Message paraphrase. It says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. When I compare, I lose all. An example that I could come up with, is say you bought, and this is not saying I'm Ford man, Chevrolet man, or whatever. I'm not any of those kind of mans. I just want to get from point A to point B. But say you this new Ford. Man, you love it. He's got power windows. air conditioning. It is really, really nice. You know, heated seats, air conditioning. It is really, really nice. You know, heated seats. I never knew why we needed them, but it's got it. It is really, really nice. It's the standard edition. You bring it home, you know, and it's really nice. And today your neighbor pulls up in that same kind of Ford, but it's the gold edition. It's got a DVD player and a steering wheel, cleaning cup holders. And it just, yours don't look so good anymore. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe you remodeled your house, you know, got all kind of stuff, put some new shrubs out there, and you got them cut looking like little animals and stuff out in the yard, and you stand back and you look at it. Next week, your neighbor builds a Buckingham Palace right beside your house. It just don't. Comparing. Or maybe you compare salaries with your friends, or you compare bank accounts, or you know, somebody gets more attention than you do. And I've noticed we tend to make comparative goals instead of productive goals. Well, productive goals, you might ask, are about who you are. Productive goals are about how God made you and making something happen in this world. And comparative goals are this. I just want more. I just want bigger. I just want better. I got to have more than him. I got to have bigger than him. I got to have newer than him. I got to have more accessories than him. My car's got to be better than hers. These will never work. These kind of goals, comparative goals, will never work. Because comparative goals will never work. Because they're not really a goal. The danger of comparison is this. This is worth writing down if you're taking notes. Here's the danger of comparison. The danger of comparison is that you let other people, or you let what other people have, determine your happiness. Happiness. Can you get that? You let what other people have determine your happiness. And chances are, they may not have a whole lot of happiness in their life anyway. Jesus said, if you really want to be happy, or he said, if you really want to compare yourself to the birds, and the flowers. Birds don't work. Birds don't worry. They just, you know, eat and fly. And God takes care of them. Flowers don't, the Bible says flowers don't toil, but God clothes them. I mean, birds are just happy to be a bird. You ever know? They don't need no counseling. You ever notice that? They're just happy to be a bird. But when you find yourself worried and anxious all the time, there's a chance that comparison and discontent is the cause. God, and I'm going to tell you something else about it, I found about it. God doesn't give on the basis of our worry. He gives to us on the basis of his love. Hebrews 13:5. I didn't put it in your outline, but go back and read it today or whenever you can. But it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Contentment is in the, guess what? God works in both the muches and the less. God's in both. Jesus asked a question for those people that were caught up in comparison. And I got to tell you, I did not like this comparison. Didn't like it at all. Or this parable. I should say this parable. I didn't like it. Because what it was, it talked about some different folks and how they worked. Some folks came to work early that morning. They worked, we'll say, 8 hours. Then some folks worked 4 hours. Then some guy came in and worked an hour. And at the end of the day, the manager paid them the same wage. Everybody got $20, whether you worked 8 hours, 4 hours, 1 hour. Let me tell you something. In my mind, that ain't what? No, man. That ain't fair. I'd have really been mad if I'd worked 8 hours. I thought, well, that's not fair. Was I the only one that thought about that? Because I'm a rules guy. I like rules. And that broke the rules. And so Jesus asked this question about attitude of what God gives toward others. And it's Matthew 20:15. Are you envious because I am generous? Are you envious? I had to ask myself, Jim, are you envious? That's not fair. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you guys have said it. You won't ever admit it. But I'm more spiritual. Why do they get more? I'm more educated. Why do they have more? I'm more humble. You don't really say that out loud because you're more humble. I'm more righteous. But the Bible says that God lets the sun shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. Both. If you compare, you're going to take the joy right out of your life. Right out of your life. Third secret, learn to be content with little or much. With little or much. Contentment's not a matter of how much you have. It's just not a matter of how. It's about being fulfilled in whatever circumstance you're in. Whether you have little or much, it's about being fulfilled wherever you're at. Both of them. And so I want to look at both. Whether you got little or much. You're content with little when you realize that life is not about things. You're content with little when you realize that life is not about stuff. It's not about stuff. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says this. I say it is better to be content with what little you have. Otherwise, you'll always be struggling for more. And that's like chasing the wind. 1 Timothy 6:6-8 says this. But godliness with contentment is great gain. 6:8 says this. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. The Bible says all we really need to be content with is food and clothing. The requirement is very, very low. And if you think you got to have more, somebody said this as a quote, to whom little is not enough, nothing is never enough. Nothing is never enough. I got to learn to be content with little. I want you to ask yourself one question. What is my contentment level? What is my contentment level? Is it number one, basic needs? Is it two, financial security? What I mean by that is enough in the bank. Or number three, financial luxury. Whether I need more and more, want more. People were asked, how much more salary do you need to be content? Number one answer was twice as much. Number one answer was twice as much. Twice as much as I'm making now. But we got to learn to be content with little. And we got to learn. Paul also said to be content with much. With much. Even if God gives you a lot, even if God gives you much more, we got to realize that I can't trust in my stuff. I can't trust in my things. Because the problem is when we get a few more things, the problem is when we get a little more stuff, it's so easy to trust in them instead of trusting in God. So 1 Timothy 6:17 says, tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone. But their trust should be in the living God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Now, some people think that all you should have is your basic needs. They believe that if you have more, that you should feel guilty. That is not in the Bible at all. Not in the Bible at all. The teaching in the Bible is that if God gives you more, it is your responsibility to do more for His kingdom. It is to flow through you. But you got to watch out for trusting in the more. You got to be careful. Don't trust in the much. You got to be careful for not trusting in that. God is whom we should put our trust. Some folks who put their trust in, their trust is so high in some stuff that they try to use God to get more stuff. You know what I'm talking about. We pray these, if I pray the right prayer and I go to church enough, I'll be a millionaire. We've heard it. We hear it on TV. The only word I come up with, that's silly. That we use God to get more stuff. That's just silly. I don't know. You spell that S-I-L-L-Y. Silly. Stuff is not going to last, but God lasts forever. I'm going to tell you, joy is not found in what you make, but who made you. Who made you? Look at this prayer in Proverbs 30. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I may become content without God. And if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. In either case, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, either case is to trust God in whatever circumstance you're in. Whatever, wherever you're at, trust God. Fourth secret is to carefully choose what you pursue. Why you got right there? I'm giving another drink of water. I'm thirsty, Kyler. Whew. Got cotton mouth. Carefully choose what you pursue. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Pursue. What I pursue in life is going to cause certain results in my life. Oh, Papa Bob's got a dog named Gunner. He's a little Jack Russell Terrier. And I watch Gunner sometimes. You know, they're hyper anyway. And when Gunner gets out, Gunner goes straight to the road. He sits at the end of the driveway. And cars come by. And he'll chase them, man. When they go by, and he never catches them. But you know what Gunner does? After the car goes by and he decides he can't catch anymore, Gunner goes right back to the same spot. Waits on the next car to come by. He pursues that car. I was sitting there thinking one day, Gunner, what you going to do if you catch that car? And then I kind of got to thinking about Gunner's attitude about chasing the whole car thing and pursuing this car. You know, if I was Gunner and I was chasing this car and I couldn't catch it, it would have to be frustrating to chase something and never catch it. That would have to be frustrating. And then I was thinking, Gunner, what are you going to do with the car when you catch it? If you bite that tire and you grip onto that tire, it's going to be thump, 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 thump. So, this is a lot like me and you. If we choose to pursue the wrong things, we either A, are going to be frustrated when we can't catch it, or we're going to be thump, 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 thump when we catch it. Amen? Is that all right? But what are you chasing after? What are you chasing after? Is it righteousness? Both results are disastrous, whether it's frustration or thump, 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 thump. It's going to be bad. But the problem was, Gunner's chasing the wrong thing. Are you? What are you chasing after? You know, being on the right team? Are you chasing after that perfect house? Or that perfect job? Or are you chasing after someone's approval? And what are you chasing after? God says pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance. This past week, I want to know which got more energy, pursuit energy. Was it stuff or righteousness? Was it things or gentleness? When we pursue things, we're going to be frustrated. When we pursue stuff, we could go thump, 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 thump. Psalm 17:15 says, "But as for me, my contentment is not in wealth, but in seeing you and knowing all is well between us. And when I awake in heaven, I will be fully satisfied, for I will see you face to face." That's the dream I have for you and I, that we see him face to face. What are you chasing after? Are you wanting to, at the end of your life, saying, "Man, I died with a bigger company than he had, but I had to lose my family to do it"? Or, "I died with a fancier car than she had, or but I had to lose my integrity"? That's not what any of us want. Not a person in here does. I think what we want is, "I'll be fully satisfied. I will be fully satisfied." What are you chasing? What are you pursuing? What are you filling your life with right now that's not important? What are you filling your life with that doesn't need to be in front of your relationship with God? Now, to be able to do this, we've got to apply the fifth secret, which is rely on the strength of Christ. How many people do you know who try to find, don't answer this question with your hand, but how many people do you know that try to find contentment in their wealth? I got to tell you, they'll never find it because, enough's never enough. How many people do you know that's waiting on just the right circumstances to be content, to have a contented life? Well, there's no such thing as the perfect circumstances. Contentment is not found in circumstances. It is found in Christ. So if we're going to do that, I got to rely on Christ. Well, how do I rely on Christ, and what does that mean? Well, it means to do what he says. It means to trust in him. If he says forgive, even if you don't feel like it, forgive. If God says be patient, you may not feel like being patient, but do it. It means to live that kind of life. It means to live an obedient life to the Word of God, to serve, to be served, to be as much like Jesus Christ as we can, to pursue righteousness. It means to live that life. And you know, sometimes I often tell you guys about when I get in situations, I always ask myself, why don't I trust God for everything, every situation? You know, I trust him for the big stuff, like a home in heaven and my salvation, and I trust him for all that stuff. How come I don't trust him for the small stuff? Why don't I trust him, you know, to feed me? Why don't I trust him to clothe me? Why do I worry about things? And I came up with lots of reasons of why I don't trust him with the small stuff. And I think mostly it came down to one, is that I think mostly it's pride. And maybe that's you too. I want to do it myself. I want to do it myself. I don't want any help. I want to figure it out. And I want to be able to say, I did it. By my sweat, by my works, by my deal, I did it. Thank you, me. But when I rely on Him, what I've learned in almost 49 years, when I rely on Jesus Christ, there's an incredible freedom that comes from that, that trust. That I try to quit living that life of, if it's to be, it's up to me. I've got to rely on Christ. And you know, when I get that free, when I got that freedom, I got to tell you guys, when God gave me that freedom, when I come to that realization that it's not up to me, it's not up to my control, that there is nothing that this economy can do that can steal my contentment. Nothing that it can do. You know what? That's freedom. That's freedom. That there's nothing that my job, there's nothing that the stock market, there's nothing that my boss, there's nothing that my customers, there's nothing that people can do, parents can do, kids can do to steal my contentment. And they're not in charge of my contentment. The economy's not in charge of my contentment. That's freedom. That's freedom. My contentment is above circumstances. It is Christ. Philippians 4:13 again. I can do all things through Christ because He gives me strength. Whatever circumstances you're facing, this is where your contentment lies. This is where it lies. Not in your little or not in your much. It's not bad to have little or much. It's about contentment. I want to read that together because to me, I got a friend that puts it on every one of his hats. Philippians 4:13. Read this with me. I can do all things through Christ because He gives me strength. That should be our statement of faith. Contentment is God's promise in your life. But we got to learn it. We got to learn it. And we got to relearn it. And I want to end with my prayer for you from Ephesians 3:16. This is my prayer for you. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will give you mighty inner strength through His Holy Spirit. In the words of the teenagers in my life, that's tight. That's tight. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day. And oh Holy Spirit, I pray that You strengthen. That You strengthen every person here and every Christian. Lord, I pray that we take this town, this county, this state, this country back. And we can only do it, oh Holy Spirit, through You. But Lord, I pray that we stop comparing. I pray that we stop defeating ourselves. I pray that we remove ourselves. And that we are content with whatever You give, whether it's little or much. Lord, I sure do love You. And I thank You for this day. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.